presentation of Bethel Family Church. We hope you enjoy listening and that it helps you to grow closer to Jesus.
Good morning. So today we're going to continue with our series about God working for us when we can't see it. So I think Pastor Caleb started it a fortnight ago. I wasn't here, sorry for that, because of my new job roster, but I listened to your podcast anyway, and thanks for that. And yeah, so Pastor Caleb asked me this morning, how would the preacher be today this morning? I just replied to him, no, not as good as the last preacher. Sorry about that. But when we ever preaching the word of God, it's really goes into the heart and to our bones, right? So that's what we are expecting today this morning. So we'll talk about the life of Joseph this morning with regards to our theme for our study. So this Joseph is not the New Testament Joseph, not the father of Jesus in the flesh, Joseph. This one is the Old Testament Joseph, which we can find in Genesis chapters 37 to 50. So I encourage each one of you, if you haven't read these chapters yet, the story about Joseph, it's one of the most amazing story in the Bible. I guarantee that. If you love reading fiction novels, I guarantee you, this one is very good for you. And it's a real story. Okay? So, it's a very... too many chapters for us to read. 37 to 50. It would take probably 2 or 3 hours for us before we can finish. We need approval from Carrie for that. Sir Carrie. But yeah, in your quiet time, in your free time at home, read these chapters, okay? So who is Joseph anyway? So just to give us a background. And for those of you who doesn't know, haven't read these chapters yet, we'll run through for a very brief summary. I'll try to make it as concise and brief as possible. So Joseph is one of the 12 sons of Jacob. I don't know if you know Jacob, but Jacob is also named Israel. His name Israel. And the sons of Israel, or the 12 tribes of Israel, were named after the sons of Jacob or of Israel. So these are the tribes, the 12 tribes of Israel, if you have heard about it. So that's Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Zebulun, Issachar, Dan, Gad, Asher, Naphtali, and Joseph, and Benjamin. 12 tribes of Israel. The 12 sons of Jacob. So, let's take a look at a brief summary of how the story of Joseph unfolds in these chapters. So, Joseph was his father's favorite. So, because probably he was born out of old age of Jacob, and Jacob's favorite is Joseph. And he even made a tunic of different colors for him, only for him and not to the other 11 brothers. I don't know why. Okay. Are you happy? Is that happening to you also, Caleb, that you have a favorite kid? No, okay. So this was happening to him. So because of this, the brothers hated him as well because of this. So there's somewhat like a sibling rivalry happening over here. So, he dreamt that his chef is upright. So, he has a dream. And his dream of his chef, or hay, is upright, while his brother's sheaves were bowing down to his. And he also had another dream that the sun, the moon, and 11 stars bowed down to him. And he told this dream to his brothers and his parents as well. And what was the reaction? His parents rebuked him, and his brothers hated him more when he told them his dreams, because who are you that we're going to bow down before you? That was their reaction. But nevertheless, told him the story anyway, because it's the truth. It is dream. And just telling them the story. And they hated him because of that. And one day, when his brothers were out in the field, and Joseph went out to look for them, the brothers conspired against him. He put him in a pit and sold him to a slave trader. So that's what happened to Joseph. And his brothers made something out like promise tunic. They cut them, they tore them, and they put a blood of goat on that tunic and then present them to the father. So their father was thinking that Joseph was already dead, or might be something happening with Joseph. So then Joseph was taken to Egypt and worked under Potiphar. Potiphar means general of Pharaoh. And he worked in that household as a slave, actually. So as the Lord with Joseph, the household of Potiphar was blessed because of him. And Potiphar made him overseer of his house. So that was Joseph. And during that time, he was tempted by Potiphar's wife, not only once, but many times, to commit adultery with him. But he didn't give in, not even a bit, as he feared God and honored his master, Potiphar. He ran away. So Potiphar's wife made a false accusation against him that she was being raped by Joseph, something like that. And he was put to prison because of that. So while in prison, there was a time that he interpreted the dreams of the baker and cupbearer. The baker to lose his life and the cupbearer to be retained in his position, as Joseph translated it or interpreted it. So that is why probably you've heard something like a phrase, Joseph the dreamer, because he has a dream and it's a gift also to interpret dreams. So Joseph the dreamer. So that happened. And after that, he told the cupbearer to remember him when the cupbearer will retain his position. But the cupbearer forgot about this, and he forgot about Joseph. So sometime later, the Pharaoh had a dream, and no one can interpret it. That was the time the cupbearer remembered Joseph. And Joseph was summoned by the Pharaoh, and Joseph interpreted his dreams. So he interpreted dreams as the dream is about 7 years of abundance that will happen and 7 years of famine that will come next to that. And Joseph advised Pharaoh what to do, because actually Pharaoh didn't have any idea how to deal with it. But Joseph gave a good advice to Pharaoh, that to save in the 7 years of abundance in preparation for the 7 years of famine that will come next. So save for rainy days, shall we call it. This one is save for the dry years, for the famine. So this was this has pleased Pharaoh, and he put Joseph second in command and to implement what was advised to him. So he saw the capability of Joseph, and he put Joseph second in command. That means above only Pharaoh, what they call that, second to Pharaoh. So second in command. So indeed, years of abundance came, and then the famine. The famine was so severe in all lands, but in Egypt, there was bread. There was abundance in Egypt because they prepared for it. Now, Joseph's 10 brothers, Benjamin was left behind, went to Egypt to buy grains, as famine was also severe in Canaan, where brothers and father Jacob live. So when they arrived in Egypt, they bowed down to Joseph, begging for grains, and then Joseph remembered his dream about his brothers. And Joseph recognized them, but the brothers didn't, because it's been a long time. So, but Joseph didn't make himself known yet at this stage. So only Joseph knows about it, about them. So Joseph was testing his brothers by telling them of being spies, accusing them of being spies. But the brothers truthfully telling him who they were, and that one is no more. And that one is no more means Joseph, actually. So Joseph knows about their story, the story that they were telling, and they know that it was the truth. And also the brothers told them the story about their father who is back home, Jacob. So Joseph told his brothers to go home with grains, but retain Simeon as prisoner until they are back with Benjamin with them. So Joseph made a deal with them, with the brothers. Simeon will retain, he was put in prison until he will come back with their brother Benjamin. By the way, Benjamin and Joseph's are maternal and paternal brothers. So they belong to the same mother. So when Jacob and the brothers ran out of grains again in Canaan, Jacob told them to go back to Egypt to buy more grains. And Judah told Jacob about what Joseph told them, that whenever they are back, they have to bring the youngest Benjamin back to Egypt with them. Jacob wouldn't like that, because he wanted to preserve also the brother of Joseph, Benjamin, fearing that something would happen. But Judah insisted and promised that they'll be back in Canaan with Benjamin. It means after Egypt, he promised that they'll be back to Canaan with Benjamin. So when the brothers arrived, so still the story short, so Benjamin was with them at this time, going back to Egypt to ask more grains. So Joseph had a dinner with them, including Simeon. Simeon was from prison, so he was out of prison, and he actually, Joseph wept privately when he saw Benjamin. So Joseph sent his brothers back to Canaan with grains, but he put his silver cup. This silver cup is somewhat a very important symbol of Joseph being in that position. So it's a unique silver cup to Benjamin's sacks without them knowing. This is he is doing this as a test again for the brothers. So without the brothers knowing that. So when they were at a distance, when they were on their way to Canaan, as per Joseph's instruction, he told his servants to overtook them and inspect all the sack from eldest to the youngest. And of course, they found a silver cup on Benjamin's sack, apparently. And immediately the brothers, upon learning this, knowing this, they were fearful. And they returned back to Joseph begging for mercy. And Joseph said, okay. So said the owner of the house where the silver cup is found, he will retain here in Egypt as my slave, and all of you can go. Something like that. Judah begged for mercy to Joseph and said, take me instead of Benjamin, because we promised our dad that Benjamin will be back to Canaan when we get back over there. So instead of him being put in prison and a slave, take me instead. That was Judas begging for mercy. So upon knowing this, Joseph already verified that his brothers really was repentant about what was happening before. According to Judah, what they did to Joseph before, it will never happen again, because they have committed this mistake, and they don't want to commit the same mistake again. So Judah begged for mercy that he will be retained instead of Benjamin. So upon hearing this, Joseph wept and revealed himself to his brothers. I am Joseph, your brother. Go and read the story. Very touching. My brief summary here might not be, but when you read the whole story in the Bible, It was very good. A very dramatic story happening over there. It was very good. Though the brothers were terrified at first, Joseph comforted them. They told them, don't worry about what you did to me before. It was God's plan that it happened in order to preserve life. So he did not even, you know, have a vengeance or revenge in his heart for his brothers on what their brothers, his brothers, have done to him. No, nothing like that. But he forgave them and he comforted them, actually. So eventually, so he said to the brothers to go back to Canaan and bring our father over here, including the entire household. And so eventually Jacob, their father, and the whole household moved to Egypt and lived in the best land of Egypt at Goshen. So they were all reunited, the brothers and the father and the whole household in Canaan. So what can we learn about this? We see that eventually Jacob became a very successful person, second in command in Egypt. Only Pharaoh is above him. So what did Joseph go through before he became second in command in Egypt anyway? Let us take a closer look of what went through to his life. First, he was put in pit and sold by his brothers. He was outcasted, deserted, and Joseph was 17 years old during the time. Anyone here who is 17 years old? Katie, oh, where's Katie? The teachers, yeah. So it's the time, you know, that you are a teenager, that you seek more belongingness and support of the family. It's the time also that Joseph was outcasted by his own brothers. And, yeah, second, not only that, he became slave to Potiphar. He was serving the Potiphar's house. It means he got no freedom at all because he's working as a slave, as a young boy as that. Okay? And he was accused of wrongdoing that he did not commit. So the Potiphar's wife tempted him, but he didn't give in. But he was accused of raping her, in which actually Joseph didn't do it. He ran away from that. So he was falsely accused, actually, of committing a rape when he did not commit it. And after that, he was put to prison. And in the timeline of the Bible scholars, they said that Joseph was in prison for minimum 10 years, this stage. Of course, he was forgotten by the cupbearer. So when the cupbearer told him, "Don't forget me when you get into, when you're back in your position in the Pharaoh's palace, please remember me." But actually, no, the cupbearer forgot about Joseph. And it was the time when the cupbearer was released and when Joseph joined Pharaoh. We said it's around 2 years. So it took about 2 years before the cupbearer remembered Joseph, actually. Now tell me, it looks like Joseph went through from actually better to worse, actually, or from bad to worse. It's a pear-shaped scenario. It's not getting any better. From being sold to slavery, into pit, into the prison. It's really a better process. It's a pear-shaped. It's getting worse, actually. It's getting worse. Has any of you, any of us, has been through this scenario, at least one of them, one of these? Have you been in a stage of your life that you feel outcasted or deserted by someone, by your friends, your families? I do. Yes? Oh, it's good that it's only me in this room. Okay. So, and after that, he's been a slave. He's got no freedom at all. And he was accused of wrongdoing for the things that he didn't commit. Have you been through this scenario, situation? Some would say yes. Yeah, I do, yeah. Yeah, and really a bad, really accusation, actually, that will really affect your life. This is what happened to Joseph. And he was put in prison. Actually, probably a bus hasn't gone into the prison. But, you know, we might have a prison wall that we cannot see in our lives, an invisible prison. Have you feel something like that in your life? You've got no freedom, you feel like in prison. And despite the effort, the favor you have done to someone, he didn't even give you a recognition. They even forgot about you, who you are, and what you have done. That was what happened with the cupbearer. Have you been through that as well? That you don't even recognize for the good things that you have done, and you're actually forgotten about it? Yeah. So, definitely, the life of Joseph signifies also, sometimes it happened to our lives as well. Very common. And it's not getting from good to better, but it does from bad to worse. But Joseph were able to overcome all this. No, from being from the pit to being a Potiphar's slave and then to prison, but he became second in command in palace. How could it be? How did he do it? How could it be made possible? Well, let us take a closer look on what the Bible says about that. So in Genesis chapter 39, verse 2-6, we don't have to read them. So when he was still a slave in Potiphar, the Lord was with him. What do you think that made Joseph, that the Lord was with him? What do you think? The Bible doesn't really say very specific what did he do, but in that verses it said the Lord was with him. He was blessed. Even the Pharaoh's household were blessed because of him. Well, I would say because whatever he do, he did it for the Lord. He always have the Lord in his heart, even in these troubled times. That's why the Lord is with him always. And it was very evident here when he was tempted by Potiphar's wife. In Genesis 39, verse 9, he said, "How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" He did not even compromise. He did not even give in. But he said, he cannot do that sin against God. So all along the way, Joseph always glorified God in his life, and he has always God in his life. Amen. Thirdly, we can say that Jacob acknowledged God to be sovereign in everything, even in his dreams. When he interpreted the cupbearer and the baker's dreams, he said, "Do not interpretations belong to God?" So even the dreams, he acknowledged God's sovereignty. So how much more in all things that Joseph acknowledged the sovereignty of God in all things. And further, even in prison, don't you know that he was prosperous? In Genesis chapter 9, verse 21 to 23, "And whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. That the warden of the prison made him also second in command." And that's in prison. That's how Jacob was blessed. Why? Because, yeah, from the way we see it, he always do the right things for God. I'm quite sure he didn't even compromise of the wrongdoings. That's what they saw him. That's what the people see around Joseph. that he was really a man of God. Yep. And even the Pharaoh, when he met the Pharaoh, saw that God is with Joseph. In verses chapter 41, verses 38 to 39, when he was made second in command, he said, "In whom is the Spirit of God?" So, in summary, what can we say? Joseph, I would say in what you will learn about being the light of this world, a city in the hill cannot be hidden. That was happening in Joseph's life as well. So because he glorified God and he served God and he worshiped God and he made God really the priority of his life, the glory of God shines on Joseph and everyone can see it, even the unbelievers, even the Pharaohs. I know it happening to you as well. So when you are, that Christ is in you, in your workplace, wherever you are, you don't even take notice of it, but the people working with you would notice that you have the glory of God in your life. Have you been through that? Yeah, I'm quite sure it is, because that light cannot be hidden. It will shine. It will shine without even telling them that you are a Christian. But when they saw your life, just like Joseph here, that God will manifest in your life. That's what happened to Joseph here. Even though the fear-shaped situation he got in, the troubles he got in, he retains his worship to God. He retains his status with God. He keeps the faith. The faith to God. Amen. I just remember our second song this morning and said, as long as I'm breathing, I'm going to praise the Lord. Whatever the situation is, I'm going to praise the Lord. That's what happened to Joseph. Whatever the situation is, I'm going to praise the Lord as long as I'm breathing. And even when he went to see his brothers, when he comforted his brothers, he told his brothers that, "For God sent me before you to preserve life." So instead of vengeance and revenge for what his brothers did to him, he acknowledged that everything God has purpose and why God is doing that. As seen in Genesis 45, verses 2 to 7, "For God sent me before you to preserve life." He didn't even accuse his brothers of their drawings they did. That is because he remained faithful to God whatever the situation is. He kept on praising the Lord as long as he's breathing. And he know that God will work for him even though he can't see it yet. Did he know that he will become like the second of command later on? I don't think so. Although we know probably Joseph is a dreamer, so he must have dreams. Does he dream of becoming a second of command in Egypt? I don't think so. I think it's something that he didn't see yet. But he knows that God is working for him. And he didn't see it. He didn't see it yet, but he knows God will be working for his life. And that's faith. He remained faithful. He has a faith in God that God will deliver him and God will always be with him despite what the situation it might be. Despite all the troubles and frustrations he gone through, he knows and he believes that God is with him and God will work out for his life. Will work for his life. Amen. How about Joseph's brothers? Well, they were repentant of what they did to Joseph, actually. Then we are truly good, when they said in chapter 42, verses 21 to 22, we are truly guilty concerning our brother. And of course, when Judah begged that instead of Benjamin, he'll be the one to remain in Egypt. So, and they are willing to suffer to be slave and willing to die in place of their younger brother Benjamin. In which what in which wasn't the first case before in what they did to Joseph. That's what Joseph saw in them. They have a repentant heart. And that's what also God saw in them as well. So despite their wrongdoings, God was so gracious to forgive them and preserve their lives. So for all of us, any one of us, so we might probably be very desperate, very depressed, probably the wrongdoings that we have done to God. But hey, as Pastor Caleb shared to us the last preaching fortnight ago, he said, God is so gracious. He's willing to forgive you of the wrongdoings that you have done. Grace is something like, if you can remember, grace is God giving to us what we don't deserve. Probably you would say, for the wrong, I'm a sinful person. I've got too many wrongdoings that I've done in my life. Probably I don't deserve God's forgiveness and love. No, by God's grace, He's willing to forgive you. He's willing to give you anything what you don't deserve, because that's how much He loves you, and that's God's grace. Amen? So it's a good story about Joseph and how his life became an example to us. So when I was flipping my Bible, studying about the sermon this morning, I went through the old bookmark that I've got here in my Bible. That was too many years ago. So really, it was good, you know, sometimes do the old school type. Go to your Bible, your book Bible, and there might be some notes, important notes there that reminds you of how the greatness of God. I'm not telling that the electronic Bible is not good. Well, it's good as well, yeah, and reading it. But, you know, sometimes doing the old school pays something as well. So I came across with this bookmark. I think it's been like more than 5 years. So I remember about the saying that was in here and how it relates to Joseph actually at this stage and to our lives. So I just want to share this with you. So this is what the writings of these small bookmarks are. So when things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high and you want to smile but have to sigh, when care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Don't ever quit. That's what Joseph's attitude was, actually. He never quit. Despite of the strict situation he was in, he never quit. God promised us that the battle has been won. It is finished. God fought the battle. It's been finished, and He promised us victory. But it's a battle. What do the soldiers do? We just don't sit and have dinner, something like that. We have to stand up and fight. We have to stand up and fight. And that's what Joseph did. He continued to praise. As long as I'm breathing, I'm continuing to praise the Lord. And there's a song as well. I don't know if you remember that. When I fight, I fought on my knees with my hands lifted up, because the battle belongs to the Lord. Do you know that song? I wish I'm like Eli that can sing that song, but forgive me. So, yeah. So in times like this, when everything go pear-shaped, don't ever quit. Continue praising God. Continue attending the church. For me personally, when times like this, I will go to church. Because we know, church is the hospital for sinners. You don't know that? That's for me. When we are spiritually weak, go to the hospital, go to the church, because it is where you can find the witnesses of our fellow believers. It will encourage us to fight as well. It is where that God's word is being shared to enlighten us, to strengthen us as well. It is where, by the way, the church is the tabernacle that the God has set for us to come, to fellowship together, to worship together, to encourage one another. It's the church. So in times, you know, go pear-shaped, don't surrender, at least go to the church. Don't stop praising God. Go to the church. Go to the church if you have to. And, yeah. So don't we ever quit this word and over the Bible. You can find his promises, just two of these. But I'm quite sure there are thousands or if not hundreds of them. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. And he's always promised that he will never leave you, will never forsake you. So if you feel like in a situation like Joseph was in, or even worse with that, just remember God is with there, always with you. And yeah, and I think it was shared the last time as well that all things work together for good for those who love God, who has been called according to his purpose. So whatever wrong things that was done against Joseph, God will turn it for good for you. Same as what happened to Joseph here. Amen. So that's all I'm about to share. I hope you get something out from that. And thank you very much for the time that we've been for listening to me. That's good.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information or to listen to other podcasts, head to our website at bethelcrc.org.au or check out Bethel Family Church on Facebook.